Revelation chapter 6, we're going to begin reading with the fifth seal, the ninth verse, read down through verse 17, and we'll finish up the fifth seal and then on to the sixth seal. Last week, we just spent some time kind of reviewing the seals with the weather and everything that we had, and so we even just sat back at the table there and went back through them and had a good time of review. And so, Revelation chapter 6, beginning to read with the ninth verse. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? The white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of the heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain and inland were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we have an opportunity to read your precious word and again to come together. And we understand the weather and there's so much sickness. And we just, Father, lift these folks up that are sick, that just need your healing hand. We ask that they would feel it presently, feel it immediately, and be restored and can come into fellowship with us. And those that are unable to get out with the weather, please, dear Lord, just keep them safe. We understand those things. And those that are traveling as well, Father, please just put your hand upon them and protect them. Now, speak to our hearts as we have come together today to hear your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to sum up or finish this fifth seal. And again, as this scroll is being unrolled one seal at a time, one event at a time, and it's carefully as that seal is broken, and we went back last week to look to see and read who is able to open the seals, because John wept because he said there's no one that's able or capable of doing that, and then we find that the Lord Jesus was able and capable of unsealing this to bring forth this judgment upon the earth. And this judgment is coming because of the wickedness of man. God has put out an opportunity of salvation for all the world. And yet the world has turned against him. And so we come down through these different seals here. And in finishing up the fifth seal, we find that there is those that have been martyred during the tribulation period. And this was between the rapture of the church and during the tribulation period is where these martyred souls have come from. And they have waited, and they've patiently waited, just waiting on the Lord to bring judgment upon the world, because they died for the name of the Lord Jesus. And were they wanting and desiring that this vengeance come because of what had happened to them? And no, it was because of what they were, the stand that they made for their God. And when Jehovah God is being their saints, their spokesman for the gospel has been put to death and in such a brutal way, they want justice. They said, you know, God, how long are you going to let them treat you this way? We want justice. And so he told them, he said, upon their request, you're going to have to wait a little longer because there's more to come. There are more to be martyred. And so he gave them a white robe to kind of show his approval. He did not rebuke them for asking. The vengeance that is being poured out on the inhabitants of the earth, and it is coming. There is a judgment day, and it just shows you how that mankind hates the truth and hates the will and the way of God. And so he gives them these white robes, and when we desire vengeance, the Lord tells us to kill that person with kindness, to show joy to them. When they harm us, we're to show them kindness. But we're no longer in the day of grace. We are no longer in the day of grace. We're in the tribulation period here. And so God does not hold them, and there will be justice. And there'll always be justice. You visit with folks, and they're hurt by someone, and we want vengeance. We want to see the results quickly, and to see them pay for their crimes, so to speak. Well, many times we need to be patient, as he tells these precious souls underneath the altar, be patient. Justice will come. Judgment will come. I will get judgment. And so again, the day of grace is over. And so you just rest a little while, because there's going to be fellow servants, fellow brethren, that's going to have to join you, because they're going to have to be killed the same as you were. And again, there appears to be two companies. We have the one company that's present, and we have another group or company that's coming. And this all takes place during the tribulation period. And so they are just told to wait. And now we get to verse 12 with the sixth seal is about to be opened. And so behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became as blood. Judgment's coming. If you want to jump all the way down to the 16th verse, I want you to see very quickly where this wrath is coming from. It is coming from the Lamb of God. And so see that. You know, we've had the four seals. They have revealed the plagues as God pours out the plagues upon this ungodly world. God has spoken into existence this world. He has given everything, including his own life, that we can live and have our sins forgiven. And yet the bulk of this world hates him and despises him, and they continue, as they are exposed to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, to reject it. And the more they reject it, the more evil they become. The more the word of God is rejected, the more it's turned aside and turned away. And so little today is preached of the truth. You have places where they get their ears tickled and they feel better, and so they get a little bit of religion and they think that that's sufficient, but it's not. And so we have the first four is this pouring out, and then the fifth seal, as we have just read, is concerning the murdering of these Christians. And so it can only be expected as things progress, that also God's anger progresses. And there comes a day when it's finished. And so we find here now, due to the sin and everything that's coming, that God is his time is set. And so the wrath of God is poured out. The same God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that had so much love that he died on the cross to save us. But when you reject that gift, understand the level of wrath or vengeance that's coming. We don't think about that. We think about hell and strangely enough, what we're discussing here is nothing compared to what hell's going to be like forever. And yet people reject that. They reject this free gift of salvation. They don't want anything to do with it. They desire to, again, have their ears tickled a little bit. And so many times through the Word of God, and we're going to read a couple of verses of Scripture here, many times through the Word of God, God gets the attention of his people, of the world, through earthquakes. And so we're going to look at a couple of them. Let's go back to Exodus 19. I want you just to kind of see that when he speaks here, and lo, there was a great earthquake in verse 12. Now we're going to go back to Exodus 19. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 19, verse 18. Exodus 19, 18. This was up on Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, 18. The Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. God wants their attention. God wants their attention. Let's go to 1 Kings. 2 Samuel. 1 Kings. Chapter 19. We're going to begin all the way down here with the 8th verse. Because Elijah, he just felt that we may even call him burnt out. He had had it. He'd had it with the people. They weren't listening. And so God brought his attention through much the same. But let's just read from verse 8 on. 1 Kings 19, verse 8 in Elijah here. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came in to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophet with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You could see the condition that Elijah was in. The Lord got his attention through the wind, through the fire, through the earthquake, but he said, now that I got your attention, I'm going to talk to you. And so that's what he did. And then if you'll jump down to verse 18, you'll find out that he wasn't left alone. The Lord Jesus said, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. And so we find that there were 7,000 that was left there. Now, once again, Elijah was really felt that there was no hope in the world, and they sought his life. And God says, I'm going to protect you. But he used in that case to once again get Elijah's attention with the earthquake and the wind and the fire. Now, there's another here that I enjoy, and let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verses 50 and 51. If you're familiar with the scripture, you know where we're going here. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in two, and from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, we always talk about how the veil is torn, and we don't talk much about the earthquake and what took place, that the rocks rent, and the earth did quake. Paul and Silas, another one, we won't turn there, that's in Acts 16. They were in jail, praying, singing. And it was the most marvelous miracle that man could think of. And that is that an earthquake could come, and yet the only thing that it did in all its jarring is open the jail doors. You know, it's an earthquake. Everything is supposed to fall. And instead of that, why, it jarred all the doors open. And the guard was still there. All the prisoners were still there. No one died in this earthquake. God just took the earth and he just shook it enough to open up the gates and the doors. And so, one more back here in Matthew, because it's right where we are here in Revelation, Matthew 24, verses 7 through 9. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 7, or we could start with verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. For then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, so we find what's to come there in Matthew chapter 24. We find that back with Moses, it was an awakening. Listen to what I have to say. We find in Kings there that Elijah found that today, the devil seems to have gotten smarter in his age. He has found out that instead of just murdering all the prophets and the preachers, let's just change the word. because it's the same thing. The power of God leaves, and that's all he's worried about, because if the power is here to convict your heart and show you of your sin and show you you need a Savior, as long as we can stop that, the presence of the Holy Spirit being there, so we'll just change the words a little bit. But as we know, that's not good enough for the devil. He changes the words for a little while, and then it doesn't move quite fast enough, so then he'll go out and he'll put to death the preachers of the gospel, and he'll put to death those that stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he can't stand the sight of them. He can't stand the sight of a believer in the Lord Jesus, and so he's going to do everything he can to destroy them. So when we find these things and the different things that God has used, in especially with this earthquake, to wake people up, we have the same situation here in this sixth seal, back in Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when they had opened the sixth seal, he'd opened that up each time there's a judgment coming, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell upon the earth, even as the fig casteth her untimely figs when she did is shaken of a mighty wind. And it just continues. Every mountain, every island moved out of their place. Can we imagine when the power of God, you know, we find the time back in Egypt when the plagues came, there was a darkness that came upon the earth, as it speaks here, and the earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood. And so we find that back in Egypt, when Moses was presenting the plagues that God had given him, there was a time that they said it was so dark, the darkness, it was so dark that you could feel a darkness on you. And I wonder if that isn't going to be similar to what hell is like. Because hell, it's going to be the fires, but you're going to be so alone in that darkness. And that heat, there's more than one, you know, we think of fire, of the flames and the heat and everything, but there's more ways of, we think of fire and producing light, but not in hell. It's going to be total darkness in hell. And so we have that, and then also from the sixth to the ninth hour, when the Lord Jesus was crucified, once again, there was an eerie darkness, a total darkness that came upon this earth at the time, never to have been there before. And so we have the stars falling from the sky. We have the moon turning to blood. We have the sun black as soot. We have islands and the oceans, the mountains begin to move and to roll from one place to the other, just like marbles do across the floor. When God's wrath comes, it comes. And do we really accept this? Do we really understand that somebody that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ is going to walk into this if they are alive when the church is raptured? This is what they have to expect. And if they have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be here. They'll be raptured. And if they have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and they go into this time, they will not have an opportunity to be saved. So they will face this judgment. They'll face this wrath. Now, what comes here? It not only will all this earth start to move, but as I said last week, we kind of got to talking about it here. It's going to be kind of a strange thing to say, but there's going to be one of the greatest prayer meetings that's ever been raised up. Are they praying to the Antichrist for his power, for his strength? Are they praying to the devil for him to rescue them? No. They're praying to the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. That's going to be their prayer. They are pleading and praying with this earth because, you see, that's what's happened. They have loved the creation more than the Creator. And so they pray to the only one they know. And they pray to this creation that God has so developed. But they plead with the creation. They plead with rocks. Can we imagine the fear that's coming on them when you desire to die? You know, when you have someone in a fire, you know, the closest thing that has happened in our time, in our lifetime, would be the Twin Towers. Can you imagine when those towers came down with such a force? What would you do that day? You're on the 50th floor. 10 floors below you is on fire. What would you do? That's possible. I mean, but it's the same thing, you know. You desire to rid yourself, but that's just fear of the elements. That's no comparison, because they're hiding from the face of God. Now, let's look at this here. Verse 16. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. That's what's coming. That's what's going to be here during this tribulation period. These folks aren't praying to God to save them. They're not praying to God that, please forgive me of my sins. You see, the day of grace is gone. There is no opportunity of them to be saved. The only thing they have left is judgment. And the wrath of God is coming. Now, are we concerned about lost souls? Are we concerned about our family? Just a couple days ago, I visited with a fella, and you know, he had his child had been baptized, and so they convinced him that they needed to be baptized. Of course, they were just sprinkled, you know, and that was, you know, and he said, I've always believed. And I said, hell's full of always believers. When did you meet Jesus? And so we need to see that we bring that question, and we have family members, and, you know, we think of our children and our grandchildren, and as if everything is ready right now for the church to be raptured. If they don't come by faith to Jesus, they're going to walk right into that tribulation period. Now, there's a pause that takes place here in the 7th chapter, as God brings forwards, because there is a multitude that gets saved. But who do you think that other company of martyrs come from? It's not the 144,000, because God protects them. But it's those that Gentiles and Jews alike, most of them are Jews, that hear the gospel and finally see the truth and accept Jesus as their Savior, but only to be put to death, only to die. We live today in the day of grace. Today is the day of grace. It's an opportunity to come by faith so simply and so easily. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart, shows your sin. You say, yes, I am a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior, and invite Him to come into your heart. Now, the folks that we know that have never trusted in Jesus, oh, they go to church. They said, oh, they have their religion. Their religion's going to take them right to hell if it's not a personal relationship with Christ. They need to trust in Him as their Savior. So whose face are they hiding from? They're hiding from the throne of God. Who's going to be hiding? Very quickly, we'll sum this up. Everyone. Everyone that has taken the mark of the beast. You see, today, the unpardonable sin is unbelief. That's the only sin that is not forgivable, is the sin of unbelief, not believing. But there's going to be an added unpardonable sin during the tribulation, and that's the mark of the beast. You can refuse the mark of the beast, but if you don't believe, you're still hell-bound and face all this. But there is, if you take the mark, that is, during the tribulation period, the unpardonable sin. There is no return. Why would anyone take the mark of the beast? Because they want to work, and they want to eat, and they want to feed their family, and they don't want to be murdered. Fear. Fear. No matter what color, black, white, yellow, all colors, all classes, millionaires all the way to servants, kings, presidents, governors, all the political elite, all those folks that refuse the Lord Jesus Christ will be crying out with screams as loud as they can to have the rocks to fall upon them. Please, please hide me some way. They're praying to die, to be hidden from the wrath of God, only to find the wrath of God. We've got our work cut out for us. We need to be witnessing and testifying that Jesus is alive. Jesus died for you. Please, I beg you, trust in Him. Let's close in prayer. Father, it's a joy to proclaim Your word. These are sad words because we know that there's multitudes out there that refuse, that feel like they're enough. Everything is fine. Either they don't attend church at all and don't think it's necessary, or they attend church and it's just a social gathering, nothing to do with the dealing with sin and coming by faith to You as their Savior. Pray, Father, that there be an awakening in this area, an awakening with the radio, with the website, as folks would tune in and listen to one of the messages and hear the gospel, and You touch your hearts. All we are to do is take it out. But we plead and we beg You, Father, that Your Spirit come with a strong power and strength, convicting their hearts and introducing them to the Lord Jesus. Please speak to hearts now, Father. Put a burden in our hearts and a burden in our minds and in our souls, that we would move with it with speed. The harvest is great, but those that are doing the harvesting are very few. Please, Father, speak to our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.